Glory. Luke chapter 22 in your Bibles. Amen. Luke chapter 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for the fullness of the blessing. In 2008, we're not giving up. Amen. Listen, if you're listening to us by recording, you'll want to go down and prepare yourself a small piece of bread and some grape juice. Amen. We're going to be talking about why we take communion this morning, and then we're going to take communion. Amen. If you're listening to us at home, in prison, in the hospital, wherever you might be, you might want to just prepare yourself for that. Amen. You can participate with us at the end of this message in communion. Amen. There's only two ordinances that Jesus instituted for his body, and that is water baptism and communion. Some call it the Lord's Supper, others call it the Lord's table. Amen? Foot washing is not an ordinance that Jesus instituted, but foot washing's okay. Just don't try to wash my feet, because that drives me up the wall. I can't stand it when people touch my feet, my wife included. Amen? She'll poke me with her toe in the ball of my foot in the middle of the night, and I'll come right off that pillow wide awake, thinking she's attacking my feet. Don't go near my feet, trying to get me in the night. Hallelujah. Foot washing's okay. It's a humbling experience. It's a good thing. Jesus did it, but it's not an ordinance. Amen? Some churches practice it. Wouldn't do it if God told us to do it. Amen? God told me to wash your feet, I would wash your feet. Hallelujah. If God told you to wash my feet, I'd have to take 2 weeks of fasting and prayer. Make sure he really told you that, because he knows how I am about anybody touching my feet for any reason. You don't know the trouble I have putting my own shoes and socks on. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. The bottoms of my feet are so sensitive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What does that have to do with communion? Absolutely nothing, other than to say that there's only two ordinances that Jesus instituted for his church, for his body. One of them is water baptism. You find that in Matthew chapter 28 and Romans chapter 6 throughout the New Testament. And the other is the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, whatever you grew up calling it. It's okay. Amen? And we're going to be talking about communion this morning. When Jesus attended his last Passover feast, he instituted the ordinance of taking bread and the fruit of the vine as a memorial to his death. Are you there in Luke chapter 22? We'll begin there this morning. Amen. Luke chapter 22. Amen. Luke 22. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Hallelujah. Look right here in verse 19. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for utterance in the Holy Spirit here this morning. Father, I'm going to just ask these people to pull on the office that you've called me to, Lord. Expect with me for God to speak to you, to show you some things that maybe you didn't understand about communion before. Father, to even show me some things maybe I didn't understand about communion before. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus coming forth in this service. In Jesus' name, I look to you now, God, for bold utterance. We all look to you, God, to speak to us through the pastor, Father. In Jesus' name, I just want to encourage you again. Place a demand on my teaching office this morning. Expect God to talk to you through it, and you'll be surprised at what you hear and what happens. Amen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, well, actually the scripture says, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I want you to notice something here, and I'm going to tell you why later. I want you to notice that he held up the bread, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I want you to notice right here. He stood there in his body, in his human body. He took the bread and said, this is my body. He took the cup and said, this is my blood. But he did not turn into the bread, and he didn't turn into the blood, did he? Into the grape juice. Amen? That's called transubstantiation. People who believe in that, the Catholic Church believes in that. And I can say that because I'm a Catholic hostile. I was raised a Catholic and now I'm a Pentecostal. If you weren't raised a Catholic, you just watch out criticizing the Catholic Church. You let me do that. Amen? Let the Catholics, we'll criticize ourselves. Transubstantiation says that the bread and the blood are the actual flesh and blood of Jesus Christ in your mouth. You're actually eating His blood in His flesh. Well, that's contradicted by logic, because Jesus didn't stand there and take chunks of His own flesh and drink a cup of His own blood, did He? He stayed in His body. His blood stayed in His body. He was saying, this is symbolic of My body, and this is symbolic of My blood. Amen? So we don't believe in transubstantiation. Nor do we believe in consubstantiation. We may as well just go into it right here. Consubstantiation doesn't believe that it actually becomes the actual flesh and the actual blood of Jesus when it's in your mouth. But consubstantiation believes and teaches that Jesus is actually in the elements. He's actually in the wafer. He's actually in the cup. And that's contradicted by Scripture. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, not in the bread, not in the cup, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus isn't in the elements. He's in you. He's in me. Amen? So transubstantiation is contradicted by logic. Consubstantiation is contradicted by Scripture. Amen? So we need to know that. I want you to know what we believe around here. Amen? We believe that the elements are symbols. Symbols. Points of contact that we use to release our faith in our covenant with God. Amen? And we're going to also see what the elements are in a little more detail as we go. Amen? We're talking about why we take communion throughout the book of Acts, throughout the epistles of Paul. We find the disciples obeying this ordinance, moving about from house to house, breaking bread with one another, preaching Christ and breaking bread. Amen? In Acts chapter 2, you find that some disciples did it on a daily basis. In Acts chapter 20, you find that other disciples did it on a weekly basis. There's no hard, fast rules for taking communion. You just need to be led by the Holy Spirit when you do it. Sometimes Barbara and I will go for weeks without doing it, even months. Other times, we'll take it every week. Recently, we've been taking it every day. It's all how the Holy Spirit leads you. Amen? You can do this as the Holy Spirit leads you. Amen? Hallelujah. And it releases tremendous power on your behalf. Amen? The clearest evidence that the church observed the Lord's Supper, the whole church, as a sacrament, is found in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. So let's go over there right now. We're talking about why we take communion, and then we're going to have a precious communion service here this morning. We're going to first look at some things that Paul said about communion, what it is, what it does, why we take it. Amen? Hallelujah. And you're going to enjoy this message. Hallelujah. It's a sacrament. It's a sacrament. Amen? 1 Corinthians, it's a holy thing. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians verse 23. And just a little pastoral counsel up here today, a little reminder. I know you're going to do your best to not read ahead of me, because when you do, you miss what's being said. Amen? Hallelujah. Pastor, will you ever stop saying that? Probably not. Most likely, no. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll probably do that for as long as I'm alive. Amen? As long as I'm preaching and teaching the gospel. Why do you do that, Pastor? Because the Holy Spirit moves on me and behooves me to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to miss things by going ahead of Him. You know, one step ahead of God is as bad as one step behind God. Amen? Hallelujah. Paul, look at what Paul said. He said, for I have received, in verse 23, I have received of the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Paul said, this revelation I'm about to share with you, Jesus personally came to me, appeared to me, and gave it to me by way of revelation. He told Paul specifically what happened that night, Jesus' last Passover, that we just read in Luke chapter 22. Paul didn't know Jesus while Jesus was on the earth. He wasn't one of the 12. He came along later. But he got to meet Jesus in person when Jesus appeared to him multiple times. He gave him most of the revelation In the 14 epistles he wrote, by direct appearances of God, Jesus came to him and taught him about communion. Come into his room, sit in a chair and say, Paul, today we talk about communion, son. Hallelujah. Paul grabbed his notepad and pen, I'm sure, and said, yes, sir, let's go. Amen. I heard somebody say recently, you know how somebody said something to the effect of, I've lived in different communities over the course of my life. When I'm looking for churches, the first thing that I look for when I go into a church are other people taking notes. Because if they're not taking the notes, the pastor's probably not requiring that they take notes, because he's probably not preaching the gospel. Amen? And this is another person's opinion, not mine. The pastor probably doesn't care about their spiritual growth, because he doesn't put even the slightest pressure on them to take notes. Well, I care enough to not only put slight pressure on you, but to put big time pressure on you to take notes, like Paul no doubt did when Jesus appeared in his room. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed by Judas, he took bread. And how did Paul know this? Jesus told him. And when he had given thanks, he said, I gave thanks, Paul, and I broke it. And I said to my disciples, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, which when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, basically he's talking about unsaved people, you shouldn't do this. This is for covenant people. Amen? If you've not been made worthy in Christ, if you've not been made the righteousness of God in him, you're in an unworthy position before God, and you don't want to be partaken of communion. I'm going to take it another step further with Catholic folks. Paul said, for this reason, many of you are sick and many of you have died prematurely. The church I grew up in, the Catholic Church, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but Catholic people seem to experience some major tragedies that almost make you want to believe more than other folks. Catholic people, more than anybody I know, take communion in an unworthy manner. They're not born again, so many of them. And they partake of what they call the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, not being born again. This is for covenant people only. This is for covenant. And children shouldn't partake of Holy Communion until they can understand the new birth, until they can make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, and they can know what they're doing. Hallelujah. So that's something you need to just keep in mind. Amen. I'm not getting down on Catholics. I am a Catholicostal. Amen. I've not renounced my Catholic roots. I don't teach Catholic doctrine, but I love Catholic people, and I'm not ashamed of my affiliation, my former affiliation with the Catholic Church. I love Catholic people. My family. Hardcore Catholics. Hallelujah. Catholic born, Catholic bred, Catholic living, and Catholic dead, spiritually speaking. Amen. But you can't do this if you're not born again. Amen. You be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, as I said, we're going to observe some very vital points that Paul made right in what we just read here concerning why we take communion. Number one, it's an act of obedience. Number one, note takers, gospel preachers, hallelujah. It's an act of obedience. And if you've been around here at all, you know that I'm always saying obedience sets the stage for what? Guess you haven't been around long enough. Obedience always sets the stage for the miraculous. Amen? Disobedience closes the door. Disobedience, let me say it this way, slams the door on the miraculous, on the supernatural. But obedience always opens the door for the miraculous. Partaking of communion is an act of obedience. Paul reminds us right back there in verse 24 that Jesus said, take, eat, and do Those are three commands Jesus gave. Take, eat, and do in remembrance of me. Now, there's many blessings for partaking of communion. There's physical blessings, there's material blessings, there's spiritual blessings, there's social blessings. There's all kinds of blessings. Physical, did I say physical? You can be healed. How many believe that the power of God can come in this room right now and just hit your body and completely heal you? Do you believe that? That's not the primary way He heals His family. He wants us to build our faith in the Word, not the gifts. And meditate on the Word. Faith comes by hearing. Meditate on healing scriptures. But right in the middle of your doing that, He can just, may I whack you with power from on high and instantly heal your body, or your mind, or your finances. You believe that? Hallelujah. He can do it right in the middle of a communion service. You'll see why as we go on. Amen. Many physical, material, all kinds of blessings promised for taking communion in faith. But we don't do it just because of the blessings. We do it, number one, because we desire to obey Him. Amen. He made us. He redeemed us after we fell. He bought us back. Paid the ultimate price for us. Owns us. Has the right to command us. Jesus said, take, eat, do. It's not an option. It's a command. And we do it because we desire to obey Him. Amen. That's what the whole New Testament church is built upon, obedience. This is where too many folks don't get it. This is where so many believers are missing it. They don't understand. The New Testament church is built on obedience, not opinion. Amen? It's built on obedience, full-time obedience. Amen? Do you know that obeying God when it's convenient is not obedience at all? Obeying God only when it's convenient is not obedience at all. It's disobedience. We are to obey God when it's easy, and we are to obey God when it's hard. Now, I'm talking to myself too. Amen? I've got to do it when it's easy, and I've got to do it when it's hard too. Not only do I have to do it when it's hard, I got to stand up here and keep on preaching when I'm going through it and it's hard. Try that on someday. Amen? Barbara, please preach for me. You're called to do it, not me. Well, thanks a lot. Hallelujah. No, Barbara offers to preach for me. She sees I go through hardship in my soul. She said, you just let me know. I'm there. I'm good. And I tell her I appreciate it. And she can do it too. Amen. But that'd be disobedience for me, wouldn't it? I have to obey God when it's easy. I have to obey God when it's hard. Obeying God only when it's convenient is not obedience at all. It's disobedience. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. God took Adam. He put him in the garden, didn't He? Didn't ask him if he wanted to go. Did He? He didn't get to vote. And Jesus said, take, eat, do. We obey Him. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, when He took Adam's rib and made the woman out of him, He didn't say, Adam, what do you say? Boy, we take a rib out of your side and make you a nice looking dish, something to snuggle with, share your problems with. And Adam said, nah, God, I don't want to fellowship with you. I don't want some woman around. Is that what God did? Is that what Adam did? He put him to sleep. He took a rib out of his side. When he saw it wasn't good for man to be alone, he made a woman and he gave him to him. No voting. Christianity is not optional opinion. It's obedience. Amen? Pastor John, I thought we were taking communion. We are, but I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God this morning. Amen? You know why God chose Abraham to be the father of the fullness of the blessing? Genesis 18:19 says, He chose Abraham because He knew Abraham would command his family. You look at, put that in your notes, right? Put that in your notes, Bob. Genesis 18:19. In case somebody else didn't get it, they can come get a copy of your notes, amen, for a fee. If you're not going to take your own notes, you should at least pay Barbara something for her notes, amen? Genesis 18:19 says that God chose Abraham because He knew He would command his family. Do you know that a pastor, somebody, a very wise man, said this one time, a very wise minister, I won't share his name this morning, I'm not going to give him all the credit for it. He said, you know, a pastor is basically the daddy of a family. That's what a pastor is.
He's the daddy of a local congregation. He's the father of that family. Don't get me wrong. Small f. God's our father. Amen? Amen? And if he doesn't command the family the way that Abraham commanded his family, God will find somebody else who will. I told you, you heard me praying here about a week ago, something the Lord said to me while I was preparing a message last week. I was just standing in the kitchen reading some notes. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you weren't my first choice. It's like, am I going through enough? You weren't my first choice, the Holy Spirit said, as I was standing there leaning on the sink looking at notes. You weren't my first choice. There were seven more that I called before you. Some of them came and left. Others didn't even bother obeying me. I'm number eight. Amen? God chose seven more before me, but they wouldn't obey. I will obey God. I will obey God as the pastor and as that gentleman said, as the daddy of this family. Isn't that what daddies do? Isn't that what mothers do, whether the children like it or not? If you got to take castor oil, you got to take castor oil. Amen? If you got to take an antibiotic, you got to take it. Amen? And dad or mom needs to make sure that the antibiotics are taken, even though the kid's screaming, you hate me! I don't hate you. I love you. That's why I'm taking such a hard run at you with the castor oil. Castor oil, what do you call it? We never took that stuff when we grew up. Amen? Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? God chose Abraham because he knew he would command his family. He knew that Abraham would do proper justice and judgment concerning those that God gave him authority over. And we take communion because we desire. It's an act of obedience. Everything about Christianity is obedience, not self-willed, optional opinion. And I don't like the castor oil. I'm not taking the castor oil, and I ain't coming home anymore. What a communion service, huh? Number two, hallelujah. It's a memorial to Christ dying for us. Hallelujah. You thought this was going to be something maybe a little more religious? No, you know me better than that. It's a memorial to Christ dying for us. It's an act of obedience to Christ's command, and it's a memorial to Christ dying for us. Right there in verse 24, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. He was really saying, every time you obey me and do this, I want you to remember something. Every time you obey me and do this, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that I died for you. I died for you as if you were the only person in the world. I died for you. When you obediently partake of the Lord's Supper, Jesus wants you to remember that he died for you as if you were the only living, breathing human being in the world when he did it. He said, I did it for you. For you. Not just for the family, not for just us collectively, but he died for us individually. He wants you to remember that. Don't ever forget that. He died for your sins. He died so you didn't have to go to hell. He died to make you right with God. You, because he loves you, because the Father loves you, John 17:23, as much as he loves Jesus. Died for you individually. He said, remember, you've been forgiven of all your sin. You don't have to bear the consequences of sin anymore. You don't have to bear sickness and disease. You can rise up and tell it to go back. Don't you be discouraged because the pastor was sick for 3 weeks or a month here recently. You know why I got sick? Disobedience. Disobedience. I disobeyed. I know after I preach and get sweated up, do not go outside in the cold without a proper jacket on. Well, I did it anyway. And Barbara said, don't do it. Don't do it. And I said, I'm okay just for a minute. It only takes a minute. Well, only be a half a minute. And I did it. And I went outside in the cold with the sweat on me. I didn't have a proper jacket on. I had my little woolen vest that you see me wear all the time. I needed a proper... It's my own fault. It's my own fault I got sick the way that I did. Amen? So don't think just because the pastor came down with whatever those demonic symptoms were, that bodily healing is not in redemption. It is! His own self bore your sins in His body on the cross, that you, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, and by His stripes you are healed. And you can know I was laying on that bed saying, by His stripes I'm healed. I'm healed. Barbara laying hands on me. Amen? Releasing the power of God into me. Hallelujah. I'd still be out now if it wasn't for the Word of God. I got hammered! And I opened the door to it. Don't blame God for what the pastor did. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus died for you. It's a memorial to Him dying for you. Amen? You don't have to bear the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin are sickness, disease, poverty, and eternal separation from God. You don't have to experience that anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And this, what we're going to partake of today, the Lord's Supper, is a memorial to that. You know, everybody knows what a memorial is, don't you? A memorial is something that's meant to help people remember people or events. It's something that is intended to help people remember other people or events. Amen? It's so that we would never forget the price paid by others, so we can enjoy certain liberties. Did you hear that? It's to help us to never forget the price paid by others, so that we can enjoy certain benefits and liberties. That's what the Washington monuments are, the Washington Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, Mount Rushmore. That to help us to remember the price paid, the extreme prices paid by other human beings, so that we can enjoy certain benefits and privileges. And that's what communion is. It's the Mount Rushmore of Christianity. It's to help us to remember that Jesus died for us as individuals, because He loves us as individuals, and He paid the penalty for our individual sin, so that we don't have the biggest penalty for our sin of all would be eternal separation from God. He took care of that business. Amen? He wiped that out once and for all. And that's what Paul said we're going to do here today. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until I come, and do it in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. Do it in remembrance. Do it as an act of obedience, and do it in remembrance of what I did for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Number three. Hallelujah. It's a statement of faith that Christ will return. Hallelujah. It's a statement of faith that Christ will return. You get that in your notes. Amen? Say, I love you, Pastor. Hallelujah. I haven't heard that enough lately, so. Say it again.
I love you, Pastor.
Say it in the Amplified Bible.
I love you, Pastor.
Say it in the Amplified Bible. I love you, Pastor. And I love you, too. Thank you for being so boisterous and so vocal about it today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a statement of faith that Christ will return, right there again in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Please say, till He come. We need to do this between now and the time He comes, if we don't go on home before He comes. Amen. It's the declaration of faith in the return of Christ to finalize the work of redemption. Communion is a declaration of faith. Did you write that down? Maybe you want to. It's a direct declaration of faith in the return of Christ to finalize the work of redemption. I'm going to say it one more time at the risk of being redundant. It's a declaration of faith in the return of Christ to finalize the work of redemption. You know that redemption isn't complete yet. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You can jump over to 2 Corinthians 5 real quick, can't you? Why don't you go over there and do that with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Redemption isn't complete yet. We're still awaiting the redemption of our bodies. They're still subject to death. Paul said the last enemy to be put underfoot is death. The last enemy. It hasn't been put underfoot yet. Redemption isn't complete yet. We're waiting for Jesus. That's why this old bag of bones tries to give you so much trouble, and you got to use your faith all the time and demand it come in line with the Word of God. Because it's not been redeemed yet. That's why you have to take authority over it when sickness and disease come to you. You got to open your mouth, use your delegated power of attorney, and tell that old bag of bones, come in line and obey me in Jesus' name. That's what we do. We say, body, you settle down in Jesus' name. Symptoms, stop flaring up. Go back. Cease. Desist. You've had growths and things appear in our body. I have. And my body just pop up. That I'm supposed to be there. And I say, you pop right back down in Jesus' name. You go right back where you came from. I do not receive you. Barbara's done the same thing. We're both presently standing on things. But we've both seen tumors go and growths go supernaturally. One big old bad boy fell right out of her body through the power of God, the laying on of hands and taking authority. And it was ugly as the devil. Fell right off her. Right out of her. Supernatural. Hallelujah. You can do that too. Amen. Redemption isn't complete yet. We're still awaiting the redemption of our bodies. Did you go over there to 2 Corinthians 5? Let's just show you this right here. I said 5, I meant 1. You can go backwards 4 chapters, right? Amen. You're there quickly. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. He's a dead raising God. Amen. Look at right there. Who delivered? You see that's past tense. Delivered us from so great a death. That's talking about the spiritual deliverance we've already experienced. We're born again in our spirits. We've been made new creations in our spirits. We've been made right with God in our spirits. That part of redemption is complete. We are the righteousness of God in our spirits. We're created in the image and likeness of God. God's a spirit. We're a spirit. First and foremost, we've been redeemed in our spirit, man. The real you, Helen, has already been redeemed. Your spirit woman on the inside of you. The part of you that's like God. We have been delivered. Who delivered, past tense, us from so great a death? That's talking about eternal separation from God. That's settled. You're not going to be separated from God anymore. In your spirit, man. And doth deliver. Meaning present tense. It's happening now. What's he talking about right there? If he's already delivered us in spirit, how are we being delivered now? In our minds. See, you are a spirit. You have a mind or a soul. You live in a body. You've got to renew or deliver your own mind. Paul said in Romans 12, 2 and 3. He said, be not conformed to the ways of the world, but be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. Mind renewal is a process that we go through all of our life long. And we're responsible to do it with the word. So he's delivered us in our spirits. We're getting delivered in our minds, our soul, our will, and our intellect through time spent in God's word. He doth deliver us. And look right here, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. What does it mean, yet deliver us? It means he's coming for our bodies. He's coming to pick up these old bag of bones, to redeem them, perfect them. That's why the Bible says, as he is, so shall I be. When I see him, I shall be like him. He's going to pull your body up out of the grave if you go there before he comes. If he tarries, we'll go into the grave. If he doesn't tarry, we'll just be caught up and our bodies will be instantly changed to be like his while we're being translated through the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But can you see that redemption isn't complete yet? Communion is saying that we trust him to come back and redeem our bodies. He's taking care of us spiritually. We take care of ourselves soulically by renewing our mind on the word of God. And we're saying when we take communion, we believe he's coming to redeem our bodies. Amen? Can you see it? Hallelujah. Redemption is threefold. It's not complete yet. Every time we come together, we tell God. Every time we come together and break bread and partake of the cup, we tell God that we believe Jesus is going to return and change this old bag of bones into a celestial masterpiece. Did you hear that? He's going to come back and turn this old bag of bones into a celestial masterpiece that'll never be subject to sickness and disease again. You won't even get tired. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time we come together over the Lord's Supper and break bread, It's an act of obedience. It's a memorial to what Jesus did for us individually and collectively. It's expressing faith in His return. And number four, it's a statement of oneness as believers. Paul said it's a statement of oneness as believers. A statement of oneness as believers. Now you're there in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1. It would be real easy for you to go to 1 Corinthians 10, wouldn't it be? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. I always come over and make sure Barbara's turning to the right scripture. I don't know why. Why do I do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss anything the Lord might be showing you over there. That's what she does to me at home all the time. I'm reading a book. I put it down to go in the other room. I come back, it's gone. She's in the other room reading it. I pull out my notes to study for a service. I put them down. I go to get a cup of coffee. I turn back, they're gone. I know where they are. She's reading them. Amen? Back up. Yeah, hallelujah. Back up. I'm sitting at the laptop and I get some scriptures pulled up. With notes coming up in one window, reading the scripture over here. I get up and I go do something, get a pen. I don't know, I come back, she's in my chair, she's at the laptop, she's looking at my stuff. It's like, get your own revelation, honey! She does get her own revelation, too. God speaks to her in the night, says things to me. Hallelujah, first thing in the morning. I thank God for Barbara. I truly do. Amen? Hallelujah. Statement of oneness as believers. Amen? When we come together and break bread, it's a statement of oneness as believers. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 10? Look at verse 16, talking about communion. Paul again, the cup of blessing. It's just a cup of blessing. It's a cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word communion, by the way, is koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. It means fellowship. Paul said the cup of blessing is the fellowship of the body of Christ. When we come together and take communion, we're fellowshipping with one another. We're fellowshipping with one another. We're communing with one another. That's why it's called communion. Because we are communing with one another. We're fellowshipping with one another. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're saying when we come together, Jesus, I know sometimes I don't act like it, but I know that I can never accomplish your will without the other members of your body. We're saying we need one another. I need you, and you need me. So I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours. How many times have I told you that, Barbara? Hallelujah. You know that we have to keep strife out of our marriage just like everybody else? Amen? Do you know that we get disgusted with one another just like other people get disgusted with one another? Amen? Hallelujah. You can understand it on my part. But Barbara, ever getting upset with me? Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're saying when we come together, we need one another. And we do need one another. Amen? We can't make it without one another. I can't make it without you. You can't make it without me. And each of you can't make it without one another. Amen? That's what we're saying. That's what Paul said. Hallelujah. He said it's the communion of the body of Christ when we come together. Amen? Say, Jesus, I need them. And they need me. I'm committed to them. And I know they're committed to me. Hallelujah. Look right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Are you there? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Did you see that in your Bible? Many members, one body. We take that bread. We take that bread. We're telling Jesus we believe we're one body with your body, Jesus. We are the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. Amen? We need one another. He said, I don't want you trying to function without one another. I don't want you independent. I don't want you running off. There's no There's no, what's the word I'm looking for? No lone rangers in the body. Kimosabi. We need each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at verse 25 in 1 Corinthians 12. Just some scriptures as we go to break bread. Paul said there should be no strife in the body. That word schism is strife. But that the members should have the same care one for another. That word care, if you'll circle it, you know what it says? You know the Bible says that we are to be anxious for nothing concerning our own needs, our own relationship with God. That word right there says to be anxious for one another. It says to take care for one another. You know what that means? It means if you see somebody who's supposed to be here and they're not here, take care and go after them. Take care and go after them. Don't wait for the pastor to do it. Get on the phone, as my grandfather used to say. Get on the horn and find out, you okay? We just want you to know we miss you and we love you. Amen? See, somebody has a need. Well, praise the Lord. We've been making appeals here for ride ministry and we're getting good responses. Amen? But if you see somebody needs a ride, say, God, you can count on me. Take care for those other people. Amen? See somebody's backsliding? Pray for them. Reach out to them. Tell them, hey, you're going the wrong way and I care enough to tell you. We can't say I'm not my brother's keeper. We can't say it's none of my business. Jesus said, take care for one another. You're the same body. That person, you could be the very one who saves somebody's life. You could be the very one to cause somebody to hear the gravel on the side of the road just before they go into a ditch that the devil had planned to kill them in. Amen? He said, take care for one another. Amen? Somebody's in the hospital, needs to be visited. You can count on me, God. Amen? No, that's not my ministry. That's everybody's ministry. Jesus said, take care one for another. Somebody's lonely, you can count on me. Somebody needs prayer, you can count on me. Somebody needs help, you can count on me. Somebody's criticizing the pastor, Jesus, you can count on me to say, hold on a minute, let me get him on a conference call. He needs to hear what you're saying about him. He has a right to defend himself. And that's what I ask you to do when people criticize you. Me to you. Tell them that. I don't want to hear another word. That's what I do with you, you know. I don't want to hear another word till I can get them here. I want to hear both sides at the same time. When somebody criticizes the pastor, tell them, hold it right there. Hold that thought. I'm going to get him on conference call. We're going to get him here. He's not here to defend himself. Did you tell him what you're telling me? No. Well, what are you telling me for? Tell him. Let's get them on the horn. They won't be calling you back and getting you in strife in a hurry again. Amen? Come on now, I do it for you. I do it for you. I say, no. I don't want to. Let's just get her here. Let's just get them here. Let's just wait till we can come together. We don't want to hear any more of this. Amen? Until I can hear both sides of the story at the same time. Amen? Hallelujah. We care for one another. That helps people. It keeps people out of trouble. It keeps people out of strife. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we've come here today to make that statement that we need one another, to make that statement publicly before God and before man. Amen? Hallelujah. You live in them, Jesus. You live in me. Look right here in verse 26. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members should rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Say, I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. We've come here today. We're going to take communion. And in doing so, we're going to be saying to the Lord, just like you and the Father are one, Jesus. My brother and sister are one. Myself and my brother and sister, we're one. It's a mystery. I don't completely understand it, but I believe it. And I accept responsibility for it. Amen? I want to encourage you, when you see sheep trying to get out through a hole in the fence, don't let them go. Don't say it's not my responsibility. It is your responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5:18 comes into my heart and it says that God has given to us all the ministry of reconciliation. Are we leaving? God has given to us all the ministry of reconciliation. If you see a sheep going through a hole in the fence, go get them! That's what love would do. Amen? Hallelujah. Some people, you know, some Christian people, they come around, they get their ears tickled, they like hearing what we're preaching here. We're preaching the fullness of the blessing. We're preaching the fullness of the blessing. We're preaching benefits, 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 blessing, blessing, blessing. But they want all of the benefits and all of the blessing and none of the responsibility. I'm not the only one who needs to get it over to them that Christianity includes responsibility. You can't have the benefits if you don't want the responsibility. Some people want all of the benefits and none of the responsibility. When you see someone behaving that way, you have a responsibility to reach out to them, believe God for wisdom, get them away from that hole in the fence and bring them back. How are we doing up here? Amen? Hallelujah. It's not just my job. Paul said that as members of the same body, we should have the same care for one another. Amen? Okay, so enough on that. Number five, it's an experience of communion with Jesus. That's why I didn't want you to close your Bibles yet. This is the most important one of all right here. Amen? Hallelujah. Helen's chomping at the bit to take communion this morning, I can tell. Hallelujah. She wants the benefits. And she qualifies because she accepts the responsibilities. Amen? You can't have the benefits if you don't want the responsibilities. Amen? Right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? That's that word koinonia, fellowship again. It's fellowshipping with the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word koinonia, again, it's fellowship. It means Christ is present to impart strength, healing, deliverance, and wisdom. Whatever it is we need, Christ is present at the table, what we call the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper, to impart to us whatever we need. Yes, He's always in our midst. Matthew 18:20, He said, whenever you gather together in My name, there I am in your midst. That's why we're called the gathering at Cape Cod. He's always in our midst when we're together. But there's something special. There's something unique. There's something very powerful that occurs concerning His presence when we partake of His body and His blood. It's a time of communion with the Lord that you don't get to experience other times. Amen? We believe that the elements in themselves are only symbolic of His body and His blood. But when received by faith, real fellowship with Jesus occurs. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. If you believe it and you expect things to happen, if you expect the supernatural, if you expect the miraculous, it can and it will happen for you. Hallelujah. Christ is in our midst, always, yes. Hallelujah. But there's something unique, something special, and something powerful when we come together over His body and His blood. When we do it as an act of obedience, when we do it as a memorial, when we do it by faith, expecting Him to return and redeem our bodies. When we come together, knowing that it's a time of oneness and fellowship with one another, and it's a time of oneness and fellowship with Him. Now, I've already said what I have to say about partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. Paul went on to talk about it. He said, you never want to take part in the Lord's table. You never want to take part in communion in an unworthy manner. Some Christian people are believing the lie. I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. I can't take communion. You are not unworthy. If you're born again, the Bible says He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You are worthy. If you've sinned, this is the time to ask Him to forgive you right now, and He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And bingo, my brother and sister, you are instantly and effortlessly back in fellowship with God. That's just how good He is. To partake in an unworthy manner is to partake with unconfessed sin in your life. Confess it. To partake in an unworthy manner is for an unsaved person to partake. You're not in covenant with God. You don't qualify to partake of the benefits of the body and blood of Jesus. If you're not born again, all you have to do is say, Jesus, you're my choice. All you have to do is make Jesus the prophet, the Lord of your life. And you become a child of God, a son of God. You become the righteousness of God. And now you have been made instantly and effortlessly worthy to partake of communion. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to do that now. I'm going to ask Brother Maurice to come and pass out these elements. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's just examine our hearts. The Bible also says, thank you, Maurice, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the communion chapter we've been reading and studying from this morning, the Bible says right in that same chapter, Paul said, if we examine ourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we'd not have to be judged. I want to encourage you right now to judge yourself. If there's anything in your life that God's been telling you to stop doing, if there's anything in your life that God's been telling you to stop doing, commit to Him right now. I'll stop it, Father. You help me, Father. You grace me, and I'll do as you're saying. If there's something God's been telling you to do and you've been dragging your feet, it's causing you to break fellowship with Him, tell Him right now, I'll do it. I'll do it, Father. I apologize, sir. I won't be like that. I don't want to be stubborn. I want to obey you. If that's what you want me to do, you grace me, I'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just examine ourselves right now. Examine our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Just take a moment to examine yourself. Hallelujah. If there's anything you need to make right with God, you just tell Him, forgive me. I'll fix that, Father. And He'll take you by faith. He's a faith God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just look on the inside. Hallelujah. Any sin of omission, any sin of commission. By the way, a sin of omission is just something you've been overlooking. But it still causes you to sin. He'll forgive you. A sin of commission, something that you committed deliberately. You knew it was wrong. But you also know that the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've been believing God for healing in your body, deliverance for a family member, a financial situation, and it hasn't manifest yet, I want to encourage you to use these elements today as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Use these elements today as a point of contact to release faith in God's Word for that loved one to be delivered, for their life to finally turn around, for those finances to finally come up, for that body to finally be healed, for that loved one's need to be met, that loved one to be saved. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you need to be rid of. But the Lord, He knows everything. Now, Father, our faith is not in the elements. Our faith is in the Word. We simply use these elements, as I said, as a point of contact to release faith in Your Word, Father, where You promise to deliver our loved ones, promise to heal our bodies, promise to bring our finances up, promise to provide for us, promise to protect us, promise to deliver us. You promise to vindicate us, Father. You promise, God, it's Your Word. It's Your Word, Father. And we're going to start with healing right now. You take that wafer, and the Bible says it'll come right off the top there. You peel that little plastic piece back. That should come right off for you. We just read in Luke chapter 22, if you'll hold that bread. Luke chapter 22 and 1 Corinthians 11. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks, which we do right now. We thank You for this wafer, God. Thank You for His body. He gave thanks and He broke it. And He said, do this in remembrance of My body, which was dismembered for you. For the health and healing of your body. You see, divine healing is in the bread. Everything else is in the cup. Divine healing is in the bread. As you partake of this bread now, as you ingest this bread, by faith, release faith in the Word of God. For wherever it is you need to be healed in your body. whatever you might be believing for your body. You might not need healing. You might need deliverance. You might need something in your body that only God can help you with. Believe it to begin today as you partake of this bread in Jesus' name. It's an act of obedience. It's a memorial to what He did. It's a statement of faith in His coming. It's fellowship with one another, fellowship with Him. And the bread symbolizes the reason He said, do it in remembrance, was because His body was dismembered that your body might be healed. Put your faith on it. Put your faith on it. Who His own self bore your sins in His body on the cross, that you being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. Just receive your healing now in Jesus' strong name. And on the same night He took the cup, the same night when He was betrayed by Judas, whom He loved so dearly. On the same night He took the cup and He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I'm going to say it for you again. Healing's in the bread. His body was broken that your body could be healed. He said the bread is His body. Everything else is in the cup. Everything else we need, everything else we need to be rid of is in His blood. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you do it and remind yourself of the fact that I shed my blood to break the curse of the law of sin and death off your back, and to provide for your family, for you socially, for you emotionally, financially, in every realm of your existence. As you take this cup today, use it as a point of contact to release your faith in whatever it is you've been believing God for the longest. Believe that stronghold to break as you release your faith, partake in this cup, and for the supernatural to occur. Turn around in your loved ones' lives. Turn around in your finances. Turn around. Turn around and change and change in every realm of your existence. He died for it. In Jesus' name, partake of the blood. Father, we're unleashing expectation in your promises this morning. We're using the body and blood of Jesus, these emblems, as a point of contact, Father, to release our faith in all that you've agreed to do, Father. Thank you, Lord, for bodily healing and redemption. Thank you, Father God, that you promise us the fullness of the blessing. Thank you, God, that the blessing of Abraham is ours, Father. It's ours because we are Abraham's seed through Christ. Father, I'm praying right now over families. Supernatural turnaround. I ask that you would send laborers, God, to the harvest field of our families in Jesus' name. Laborers, laborers, laborers to our loved ones, God, to preach the gospel to them in a way that they will finally understand it and that they will finally receive it. And finally act upon it. That's what you promised, Father. If we prayed laborers, you said you'd send them. Every person in this room has someone that believes in God concerning their salvation, their deliverance from Satan and demon powers, healing, in Jesus' name, Father. We join our faith together over the Lord's Supper this morning, asking you to send laborers. Paul said, your family solution is in laborers. Believe for laborers. God knows just who to send. God knows just who they'll listen to when they won't listen to you. Believe God for those specific laborers. Father, I pray that the finances of these individual people and that the finances of the church would come up. I pray that attendance would come up, Father. We put our faith on it in Jesus' name. You promised to add to us daily such as should be saved. Who should be saved? Whoever hears the gospel and believes it. Father, we believe you to add to us. We ask you to forgive us, God, for slipping back and talking against it, never saying the people aren't coming. Father, we commit here today over the body and blood of Jesus to never say that again. To never, ever say again, where are they? They're not coming. They won't come. The word's driving them away. The word draws them like a moth to a flame. And beginning this day, Father, as a congregation, we commit. No more negative talk. The cape is a breeze for Jesus. Forgive us if we've hindered you in any way, God. We receive your forgiveness, and we receive the fullness of the blessing. Hallelujah. Say, I receive the fullness of the blessing for myself, my loved ones, this church, this ministry, and all that we are called to do together. In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and worship Him. Let's stand up and worship God. Stand up and worship Him and praise Him. Thank Him. Whatever that need is you're releasing faith for this morning, thank Him for it. He wants to do it for you. God would prefer to do things for us than to not do things for us. Oh, get a revelation. Get a revelation. Get a revelation. Sago perede kishake perede setege. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. We're going to have a song and close. But before that, hallelujah. Just worship Him. Forget those communion cups. Put them on the chair. We'll take care of them after. Hallelujah. Let's just worship God. Worship God. Let's get our focus on Jesus. Let's keep our faith up there on Jesus. Keep our faith up there on Jesus. He's leading me to share something with you here. He's leading me to share something with you here. Let's keep our focus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do this. Hallelujah. Here's what the Lord wants me to tell you. Here's what He wants me to tell you. He wants me to tell you right here in Luke chapter 8 that He prefers faithful hearers and doers to His Word over His closest natural family members. Listen to that. Jesus prefers faithful hearers and doers of His Word over even His closest natural family members. Did you hear that? Listen, right here. I'm going to read to you in Luke chapter 8, 19. It said, they came to Him, His mother and His brethren, and they couldn't get to Him because of the crowd. And it was told to Him by certain who said, your mother and your brothers and sisters are standing outside. They want to see you. They thought He was crazy. They were trying to get Him out of there. He was embarrassing the family by preaching the gospel. And He answered and He said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. My mother and my brethren are these who are applying themselves to hearing the word and doing it. Jesus prefers faithful hearers and doers of the word over even His natural family members. That was the case here on when He was here on earth. Now all of His natural family members have been saved and they're all in heaven now. But when He was on the earth, He preferred faithful hearers and doers of the word. People who put faith in His promises over even His own natural family members. That's something to chew on. Lift your hands and worship Him for His faithfulness to you. For His faithfulness to you. For His faithfulness to His spiritual family, His spiritual body. He loves you. He loves you. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly before Him. He wants to deliver that family member. Don't wonder anymore. He wants to bring your finances up. Don't wonder anymore. He wants to heal your body. He wants to fix your marriage. He wants to fix your soul. He wants to help your loved ones. Don't let the devil tell you they're not walking with God. He won't help them. He will help them based on your faith. He said, I will deliver them by the cleanness of your hands, He said. He wants to. He wants to. Say, God wants to bless me. Say, God wants to help me. And I'm going to let Him do it. In Jesus' strong name. Just worship Him now. We're going to sing. And then Sister Barbara Hamill's going to close in prayer. Amen. Just continue to worship Him. Continue to worship Him. Unleash expectation. Release your faith. Release your faith. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Soga barande. Praise Him in your prayer language. Praise Him in your prayer language. Boroko segi berado segi perde setega. Hallelujah. 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 You have the words for this song right there on your song sheet. Thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for the blood. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank Him for the blood. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the blood.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.